You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk.
Technobite with Aki Anastasio.
Hello, Aki.
Hello, Eusebius. How are you doing?
Dude, you know, the other day I had a senior moment and I was like, I'm late for work. And then I realized, no, you're on the Reedy Clubby show doing traffic.
Oh my gosh, you did not.
I did. I associate your voice with the morning.
I know. Hello. I was forced to work with her. You know how much I dislike working with Reedy.
I know. Thank goodness you're such a good actor.
I know. Did you have a good weekend?
I had a lovely weekend. I think I'm ready for a holiday from this country.
Sure.
But I had enough of a chill out session. How was your weekend?
No, it was very chilled, warm. Just sat back reflecting on stuff because you know you're so busy during the week that you often don't get a chance to reflect on what's actually happened.
Yeah,
there was so much to digest, and getting some good book review ideas from your books that you've been reading.
I'm reading a lovely one at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah. Tande Kakubele's book on Tuli Madonsela. It's lovely.
Interesting.
But the other thing, before we do Technobite, why do you want to rush out of my studio?
I'm not.
I want you to tell the listeners what you and I were just talking about with this horrible disaster that's playing out in the Western Cape.
No, we were just, I was just thinking about it, that, you know, leadership really comes when leaders show their true leadership credentials, when they appear when people need them and when you want to bring, positivity and when you want to bring that reassurance to people that have lost everything.
Absolutely.
You know, as tragic the situations are. And I think that what happened in the Western Cape, Knysna, was a massive crisis in our country. It was leading the world, the conversation for days last week.
And rightly so.
And yet I was thinking that where were the leaders? Mm. Where was the president? Where was the minister of public, public safety? Being there, saying that you've got our insurances, that, you know, we're going to deliver X amount of food, we're going to help 100%. You if you've been... You know, displaced.
And the weird thing, right, and I don't want to be misunderstood here, I'm not trying to be perverse. You would have thought that for politicians, when there are disasters that they're not responsible for, that it's an easy political win. There's a terror attack that happens.
Dead right.
And it can change the tone of conversation about a Corbyn, about a Theresa May. But it's also, to use that overused phrase that I use too often on the show, it's a low-hanging fruit. I mean, how difficult is it to show empathy and humanity when there's a natural disaster? You know, and it's like scoring an old goal. You're not going into the lion's den having Reedy Clubby cross-examine you about Nkandla.
No, exactly. I mean, the classic examples come to mind is the likes of Giuliani when they had 9/11, the crisis there.
Exactly.
And you remember George Bush, his presidency, his ratings were at an all-time low. Mm. 9/11 happens. He goes onto the ground. He was there at 9/11.
Absolutely.
He showed leadership.
Complete contrast
and then
to Katrina.
You see how it changes things, you know?
Absolutely.
Katrina as well with Obama. So, I mean, there are so many different examples that one can use. I'm surprised that there were politicians.
Anyway, let's hope they listen and we can smoke them out and they will yet be their best possible smells. 10 minutes after 11. What do you have in store for us this week?
Well, I've got a couple of things. I mean, I've got that little device over there. This is the new Huawei P10 device. It's their flagship device that they launched in South Africa a couple of weeks back. And, you know, it's a beautiful device. The thing is that every single phone is, you know, looks the same because you can't really tell the difference between these devices. But this is the slickest device that's been made by the Chinese manufacturer Huawei. It's, you know, they're the third biggest in the world. And as I've said before, you know, when you look at where they started 5 years ago, they're just getting better and better and better. They recently partnered with Leica, the famous lens manufacturer. And the camera on this phone is really very impressive. It's got a Leica dual core camera and it's got, 3D facial detection. It's got the dynamic illumination. It takes selfies and it makes them brighter so you don't come out dark in the selfies. And it's got all sorts of different styles. But really, focusing on the photography, which is what the key aspect of it is, it's got its flaws. The battery life I found was, it was okay. It wasn't too bad, but not you know, spectacular that I would have expected. But it's an incredibly well-built device. It's solid. The specs are premium. And they cost about 10 grand. A lot of people saying, well, it's a little bit overpriced if you compare what else you're getting in the market. But, you know, the manufacturers are quite smart because they will have one feature that beats everybody else hands down. And they say, well, we've got this feature, which is why you're paying a bit of a premium. But it's a very competitively priced market. And Huawei have produced another slick device, which is really, really good. well-built metal design. And what I found interesting when I opened up the packaging is that it came with its own screen cover. Now, I was completely opposed to screen covers in the past because I thought screen covers make the phone look ugly and, you know, until you drop the phone. And, you know, screen covers have evolved, and this is my next topic of conversation. They've evolved because before you had those little rubbishy, sticky ones that didn't really do much. But today's ones are quite sophisticated because they've actually got a layer of glass that protects the glass of the phone. And if you like me, and I'm one of those one out of three people that have dropped the phone, and I am very clumsy, but we've all done it. And many people listening to the show right now have cracked a screen. And did you know that it's a $4 billion market annually?
Wow.
Cracked windscreens. And I sometimes think to myself, the manufacturers obviously know this because they're making money by supplying screen repairs and doing the repairs itself. That in itself is an industry on its own. But it's really sparked a massive industry in these screen guards. And over the weekend, I actually happened to drop my phone. And this is what happened to the screen guard.
Deliberately or as part of
it fell.
Part of your work?
It fell on Saturday and it cracked. Now, if I didn't have this on, I would be in for a bill of a few thousand rand. So they definitely do help the new generation ones. And the one I've been using is one called Invisible Shield by Zag. And I went and bought another one because it's the world's most popular one, apparently. And they say that it's got 7 times more shatter protection and it's got these infused sapphire crystals. So if you actually, you know, push across this plastic film, it's actually glass on you.
Mm.
So the innovation and the technology in this is really fascinating in itself.
But so it how much did you pay for the replacement one?
They were $300.
Okay.
Yeah, they weren't too bad. If you look online, you can find some really good deals. So that's that. And you know, we talk about artificial intelligence and where it's going. And I tell you, the conference I was at last week, like literally blew me away. Where businesses are going and how everything is now, we're living in a world that technology is doing so much on our behalf and starting to predict things with incredible accuracy. So this latest research comes out of the Vanderbilt University Medical Center, and a guy called Colin Walsh is a data scientist. And what they've done is they took a whole lot of data from a hospital, and they now crunched all those numbers. And they used artificial intelligence, they used clever algorithms, and they basically are able to work out who is going to commit suicide. And the accuracy is between 80 and 90%. And in some cases, they have predicted that, you know, that 92% accuracy in predicting whether someone will attempt suicide within a week of them leaving the hospital. So how they've done this, they took the records of 5,000 patients, they crunched the data, they you know, used the hospital admissions, they included their age, their genders, the zip codes of the area which they stay, what medication they're on, and then they've got prior diagnoses also linked into this whole algorithm. And just because of that information, they were able to identify, and they can identify, who will try and commit suicide to a 90% accuracy rate. Isn't that astonishing?
This is both astonishing, fascinating, and rather macabre.
No, very macabre. But I think where it comes in, and even with Facebook's been doing this as well. They basically crunch the numbers, and just from the posts that you make, that you type out, they can pick up, hey, this guy is on a downward spiral. He's got a problem. He needs help. And then and you remember we discussed it a few weeks ago that the thing comes up.
Yeah.
But now imagine you as a friend of this person that comes out of hospital. You can all get an alert of friends and say, listen, just look out for him. You know, there's a high risk of suicide over here. Just keep an eye on this person.
That's stunning.
And I think it's just brilliant. I mean, how many lives can you get saved? Because, you know, the tragedy of suicide is that you're not warned.
Yeah.
You know, the person just does that.
Yeah.
And if it can be prevented, why not? Just by using data, just by using the smart algorithm. And what's astonishing for me is the accuracy between, 92% within the first week of them leaving the hospital. Wow.
That is amazing. Brilliant. Thank you, Aki.
Thank you, Shibis.
Have a beautiful week.